Well, we wanted to show you some of what we talked about last week. Today, we're interrupting our regularly scheduled series to bring you the State of the Church message. It's kind of like the State of the Union, only we're going to have it, and hopefully with no infighting. If this side wants to, you know, stand and clap at any point, that's fine. Or this side, I don't want to go there. So, good morning. My name's John. I'm a lead pastor here. For those of you who are with us for the first time, a special welcome to you. If you're sitting at the end of a row, could you pass a worship folder back and forth so we can stay connected or get connected with you? And so we're doing this because we had an annual meeting last week, and so we want to catch up those of you who weren't able to get to the meeting and talk about where we're going as a church. In fact, if you've been around Bethany for long, then you already know this, that after talking to hundreds of people and after our staff provides camps and mission trips and Sunday schools and all kinds of group settings, after we've talked to all those people, we have made an observation. And the observation is this, that when people talk about their faith story, whenever people talk about their faith journey, there are always a few things that they say God has used to kind of affect their faith. There's always a few things, and we're going to talk about one of them today. But generally when they say, okay, here's my faith story, here's how God has kind of worked into my life, always they lift up a few key things that God has used to blow up their faith. And today, to start our conversation, I want to talk about one of them. I want to talk about providential relationships. But before we get there, the reason why big faith is important, the reason why this is something that should interest us all, is because God wants you to have big faith, because by faith, I mean confidence in God or trust in God, and that as we build our confidence in God, we build intimacy with God, and when we build intimacy with God, we can begin to see the world as God sees the world, so it kind of affects our faith, it blows up our faith, and God wants you to have big faith and a confidence in God and intimacy with God. And if you ask the question, well, how does God do that? Well, one of the things that God uses is providential relationships. And whenever we hear the story, someone says, here's how God has worked into my lives. You hear about relationships, and because here's what I've never heard. I've never heard anybody say, in isolation, all by myself, I discovered God, I grew in my faith to the point where I reached my fullest potential in God, and I did it without anybody help and with no connection to anybody else. That might be your story. Maybe you're the exception, but chances are maybe you don't know your story all that well. But generally speaking, people, when they tell their story, they talk about relationships. Well, it sounds like this. I was going along, and I was just doing what I could do, and I met this girl. Or I was just going along in life, and I met this guy. Or I went to school, and I took this class, and this professor just spoke into my life in a new way. Or I went to work, and I was told that the owner of the company is a Christian, and we started working together. In that stage of life, we just meshed together in a way that my faith, as a result, just blew up, became something so much more significant as a result of that relationship. Looking back, I can call that providential, that God uses human relationships to impact our faith. Now, for me, it was my college roommate, Tom. Tom was the smartest guy I think I've ever met. He was just kind of the guy that never had to study and always got straight A's. And so when I met Tom, I was in a place where I had already moved to the State of Independence, right? You know the State of Independence. Some of you can remember. Maybe you did that as well. Maybe it was college or some other season. I just decided at some point that I would reject all authority and move. I'm going to go to the state where I could do whatever I want with whoever I wanted to do it with and whenever I wanted to do. And that was the place that I was when I met Tom. And what I discovered later was in this state, the State of Independence, I was the only one who was living there. And it kind of got lonely. And there were some scars, and there was some wounds, and then there were certainly some regrets. And Tom came along just at the right time and spoke to me about the fact that there is another way, that there is a God who cares about the details and the struggles and the things that you want in life. And from there on, I discovered my faith just kind of just blew up big. I don't think I would ever considered ministry if it wasn't for my friend Tom. Because God uses human relationships all the time. Now, if this is true, and I think we can agree, if this is true, that the opposite is true as well. Because if I were to ask you to do an exercise, turn to your neighbor and say, and tell your neighbor a person who has affected your faith in a positive way, you could probably do that, and it wouldn't be a very awkward, it wouldn't be that awkward of a conversation. But if I ask you a different question and said, now turn to your neighbor and tell them about a person who dragged you away from faith in God, that would be a little more of an awkward, you know, conversation, right? That there are some people, when we get into relationships, some of them impact our faith for God, but some of the relationships, they drag us away from God. They undermine our faith as well. In fact, some of our greatest regrets started with some relationships. Even if it's a habit, it probably started with relationships. Now, the reason why this is important is because many of you grew up in a tradition, in a religious tradition, where nobody talked about faith. Faith was, you just attend Sunday morning, and then you didn't really talk about it after that. Maybe grace at dinner, and because of that, maybe you've never asked the question. Maybe you've never asked the question, how can I leverage relationships, the relationships in my life, in a way that God will affect my faith in a providential way? And if you've never asked that question, if you've never even considered that to be a significant part of the way God's affected your faith, you could be missing out on what God wants to do and where God wants to move you as a result. It's why we put a lot of time and energy and resources into creating environments around here where providential relationships can flourish. It's why we have the environments here on Sunday morning, like our Sunday school and our confirmation with our youth. It's why we have group launch. It's today is group launch Sunday. It's why we encourage you to get into groups, because while we can't engineer relationships, we're not going to try to engineer relationships. That would be awkward and weird. But what we can do is we can set up environments for the potential for God to affect your faith journey through relationships. And so that's what we do. So if I'm going to report on anything, that's the first thing I'm going to report about today. And I'm really excited to be able to tell you, in 2018, over 1,300 children, youth, and adults participated in small groups of some kind, whether that was Sunday school or confirmation or small groups for adults, and that's not even counting our larger group settings. So it was about a 17% increase from the previous year. In fact, registration for youth and children grew 20% year over year, and that's the second year in a row that that happened, which is awesome. It's terrific, because I believe that's what God is doing here, but it's also a big challenge too. And I'll tell you why it's a big challenge, because I don't know if you know this, but in the fall of 2017, we ran out of space at the 9:15 at this hour for Sunday school space. In fact, some of you might remember that and know that, because you tried to register your children at this hour and we told you, no, we've run out of space. We can't do that. And I'm pretty sure nobody thought that that was great at all, that everybody felt like that wasn't really acceptable. So this is what we did this past fall. We changed our Sunday school format so that many of our children room share. So they room share. In other words, they go either to a large group setting or they go to a small group setting, and then halfway through the hour they switch so we can use the same rooms for twice the number of kids. And so that's helped out. And so we were able to accommodate a lot more students this past fall. However, if we assume a conservative growth pattern of 10% over the next several years, right? We've grown 20% the last few years. If we assume conservatively 10% over the next few years, we're going to run out of space again for our education hour in the fall of 2021. And so that's kind of some of the realities that the council has been discussing over the past year. And with that in mind, they partnered with an architectural group, Station 19, to help look at options. Now, Nicole, she was great, and we agreed the first thing we needed to do is figure out a master plan for our property, because we had to figure out just how large can we get on this property? How big of a footprint can we have for our property? Right now, we're at about 67,000 feet, and what we learned was we're actually pretty close to maxing out our footprint here. We can add about 25,000 more square feet before we need to ask for exemptions from the green space codes and things like that. So, armed with that knowledge, we created some possible solutions. And we came up with a really clever name for the first one. It's called Phase One. I know. So Phase One would pretty much match what we expect in terms of growth over the next 15 years, looking not only inside Bethany, but outside at Elkhorn and all the growth around us. Now, part of the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because over the next several months, we're going to be sharing these possible solutions. I don't have any pretty pictures here today, but we're going to be sharing them with you to hear your feedback and to listen for God and to help us determine where the next step is. But that's only step one. Step two, the second thing that council did was even more interesting. And it's interesting because it involves a new paradigm shift when it comes to mission ministry. And this is really, really fascinating. This is a model of ministry that emerged a couple decades ago. And it started when there were churches that were usually landlocked and they couldn't figure out how to grow in the place that they were at. They had a lack of parking, they had a lack of education or worship space. And what they did is they decided to use this brand new technology called the internet. You might have heard of that. And they decided, instead of uprooting the whole facility, selling the property and moving to a bigger place, what instead they would do is they would leverage this technology and stream the worship service, usually the message, to an overflow area. And that overflow area oftentimes was either a coffee shop, a school close by, or maybe a movie theater. And what they discovered changed everything for churches that were growing. They discovered, one, it was much more cost effective than kind of expanding or building straight up into the sky, that all they had to do is rent some space, and that would help solve the problem in terms of using the internet. But then what they discovered is these new locations became locations that were a natural part of the church, and they grew to be permanent locations. So what happened is a new model emerged called, some call it multi-site, some call it anchor church. There's been a bunch of different names, but it became one church in several different locations. And so I believe God's calling Bethany to expand our reach with this same approach. In fact, I think Bethany is to start a second location in the next 3 years. I think that's what God's calling us to do. And that's a big deal. And remember why? Because our vision is to multiply blessings across not just our congregation, but across our community and beyond. Now, all of that is to say that's pretty overwhelming in my mind. And so the question is, can we really do that? That's a good question. Can we even do that? In fact, I bet that's a question that takes us back to the time when Jesus stood on the mountainside after he was raised from the dead, and he was talking to his 11 disciples. Can you imagine what their response was when Jesus gave them the Great Commission? Yeah, so he said, listen, guys, here's what I want you to do now. I know some of you doubt about everything that's just happened, and I know you're going to have a lot of questions I can't answer, but I want you to go across, I want you to go to the very ends of the earth, and I want you to teach people about me and what just happened. Now, what do you think their first response was? Are you kidding me, Jesus? I don't know if you realize this, Jesus, but we're pretty sure the Roman authorities are hunting us down as we speak. Lord, there's just 11 of us. We don't even know where the ends of the earth is. And you want us to go out there somewhere and tell people about you and tell people about your teachings? Are you kidding me? How do you think we're going to do that? And Jesus' response was, Well, look, I know how. Oh, you have lots of questions, but here's how. I am, and then Jesus said, I'm going to be with you to the end of the ages. Yeah, but Jesus, what about the details of how we do this? No. Don't worry. I'm going to be with you to the end of the ages. In other words, when you go out and expand the reach of my mission, here's what's going to happen. In some way, I'm going to mystically, powerfully, through a Holy Spirit, we learn later, providentially, I'm going to show up in your life in a special way. And as a result of showing up in your life, other people are going to learn about me. Did the disciples have any idea how that was going to happen? No. But they responded, and they did. And here we are 2,000 years later because of a response that 11 guys decided with great courage several weeks later to do just that under the power of the Holy Spirit. So can we do it? It's a big vision. Absolutely, we can do it. But it's going to require some big faith. And maybe this is all a little big. And so for you, though, today, maybe you're here, and maybe to start, the question for you is this. Are you willing to allow God to intersect with your life in a way that's providential? Are you willing to consider the relationships in your life or starting relationships in your life so that God can providentially blow your faith up? So that you can also say, you know, that's part of my story. That I got involved in this group. That I got in touch with this person. And as a result of that series of conversations or that season of life, my faith went in a direction I never imagined. I had so much more confidence in God. I started walking with God in a way that was so intimate that I began to see prayers get connected in brand new ways. I began to see God's through the world through God's eyes. I want that for you as your pastor. The question is, are we prepared to do that? Are you prepared to do that? That's my challenge. Some of you need to be a little more intentional, take some risks, try to get into a group. It might be awkward at first. Go to group launch later after the service, or maybe ask your small group to get more serious about study, or maybe you already have some friends who you kind of connect with that you can be more intentional with them. Whatever it is, how do you need to leverage this lesson, this truth for your life? Because our vision is to multiply blessings, multiply the providential relationships across our congregation, our community, and beyond. Because God's vision isn't for his church. God's vision is for his creation. And he's calling you and me and us to figure out how to bring that vision, that kingdom come. Is it going to be hard? Maybe. I'm sure that's what the disciples felt. And at times it was. But hey, wouldn't it be worth the risk of trying? All we have to do is cooperate. And I know we can do that. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, thank you for the gift of this mission you give us and the gifts of this community, Lord. There's so many gifts here, the spiritual gifts that you give to each of us, Lord. Help us to take seriously our walk with you, to get into relationship, to really take seriously that you grow our faith only as we engage, only as we really struggle with some of these faith questions that we have, to really struggle with how we share faith and how corporately and together we can grow so that your kingdom might come. That's what we pray for. We give you thanks, Lord. Give us the courage. Give us the faith, big faith, Lord, in you. We pray in your name. Amen.